Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We go with the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio, and before I jump into everything, I need to warn everybody that, you know, it's raining out where I live, so there's a pretty good chance we'll have a incredible amount of technical difficulties trying to do the podcast today. So there, you've been warned. Anyway, if you want to call in, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. And I know, I forgot, I'm the Big Jack, he's Dan the Man. Since it is Wednesday, the new blog went up at sportstimeradio.com. You can get over there and check that out. Oddly, it ended up being about one topic. I didn't realize I rambled on that long, but get over there and check it out anyways. While you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. Mr. Fantasy, well, he doesn't care, but Dan and I greatly appreciate when you do those kind of things. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are also out there on the Twitterverse. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan, the man with three E's.
So, Dan, I am going to go out on a huge limb here and say that at just about everybody who played FanDuel last night beat me. I was correct. I picked against the Rays, and they broke out of their slump. So they beat my pitcher up, and then with the exception of Lorenzo Cain, my lineup refused to hit. I scored 40.6 points last night, Dan. I believe that is my lowest outing ever since I started playing FanDuel. I was almost too embarrassed to do a lineup today, but since it's free, I am going to do one. If I had to pay for this, I probably would have just taken the day off. So here's what I went with today. I decided to spend money on Hugh Darvish. He was the top pitcher. He's going against the White Sox. They strike out more than probably any other team in baseball since the All-Star break. I paid the $10,400 for him. I just think it's the best bet. So then, you know, you've got to save a little money here or there. I found John Hicks down the board, a catcher. He's only $2,100, and he's starting for the Tigers tonight, obviously. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in my lineup. That was pretty stupid. But he's hitting in the fifth spot. So I kind of like the idea of getting a low-priced catcher who's hitting the middle of the order. I decided since Tampa Bay beat me last night, I would use a couple of their players. So I'm going with Logan Morrison at first base. He's hitting cleanup for them. He only cost me $2,600. They were... You know, I know they're facing Marcus Stroman tonight, but he hasn't exactly been a shutdown pitcher. So I'm going to jump on a couple of these Rays while they're under $3,000. Second base, I spent a little time with a couple Colorado guys, a couple Brave guys, a couple Rays guys. But my first Colorado guy is DJ LeMahieu. He cost me $3,400. He's batting second for the Rockies tonight. Back to Tampa Bay for third base, I went with Evan Longoria, who's hitting third for them tonight. He cost me $2,800. I figured if there was ever a night to use Dansby Swanson, it's tonight because he's playing in Colorado. $3,100, he's hitting eighth for the Braves tonight. My outfield ends up, Cargo is my first outfielder. He's hitting sixth for the Rockies tonight. He cost me $3,900. Then it's back to the Braves one more time. Nick Markakis is hitting cleanup for them tonight. He cost me $3,500. And my lineup wraps up with Josh Reddick hitting third for the Astros tonight. He cost me $3,200. So I've got Yu Darvish pitching, John Hicks catching, Logan Morrison at first, DJ LeMahieu at second, Evan Longoria at third, Dansby Swanson at short, and the outfield is Carlos Gonzalez, Nick Markakis, and Josh Reddick. This, of course, is for the toughest ticket contest presented by Ford, because as bad as I suck lately, I'm not spending money on any of these things. You've got about 25 minutes to get your lineup submitted for that. So good luck. I would probably completely ignore any advice I just gave you, but that's just me. You probably want to pick players that I did not pick, and hopefully it works out for you tonight. So did you jump in and get a free roll set up?
Well, to be honest, from the email I got earlier, I thought they were over with. But I did notice that they are still doing it. And I didn't do as bad as you. I hit 153 last night. So I didn't win, but, you know, 100 plus points better than you. But I tried to save a little bit of money, hoping this guy gets some strikeouts. I mean, you never know with the Cardinals. So I went with Eduardo Rodriguez. Went down the board just above you with Austin Barnes. He's hitting six. And then we have Edwin Encarnacion. At first, I'm hoping tonight's the night for Ian Happ. Justin Turner. At third, maybe Didi Gregorius will get something going tonight. AJ Pollock, George Springer, and Jonas Bidin.
Oh, that's good. I'm sure you'll probably do better than me again, you know, with the way that kind of goes. But I'm looking for your insight on this. Because, you know, sometimes in sports there are stories that come out and they just kind of confuse the hell out of me. Now, you know, the Atlanta Falcons are they're building a new stadium, Dan. I don't believe it's, well, maybe it's going to be ready this year, but if not, it's going to be ready next year. And, you know, obviously you've been enough places, you know, they have all the restaurants, you know, they have little, I guess you could call them kiosks, even though they're not freestanding, but, you know, they have little service where you can get your, you know, whatever your favorite fast food might be or whatever, or try something new. Well, now in this new Falcon Stadium, there's going to be a Chick-fil-A. Dan, I don't know if you know this or not, or if you've ever eaten there, but one of the interesting things about Chick-fil-A is they're closed on Sundays. Yeah. So 7 of the 8 Falcon home games are on Sunday. Now, obviously, there are other events. You know, I mean, they'll have concerts, and God only knows what else will be, you know, filled in there. But didn't it seem kind of odd that football stadium has a food stand from a company that's going to be closed?
Their motto, too.
So, yeah, I just thought that was really kind of strange. And, I mean, obviously, you know, you got to fill up the spaces and stuff. And, you know, I'm sure they'll do fine with the other, you know, the other events that go on. But wouldn't you think they would make an exception to do this, or?
Well, I would assume so. I think it's, I mean, why would you do that? You know, the games are on Sunday. Say they're not going to be open on Sunday?
Well, you know, I guess the big thing is they haven't announced yet that they will be. So I think everybody is just kind of assuming, since the chain itself is closed on Sundays, that this section will be as well.
Well, I mean, if I were the Falcons and Chick-fil-A, I would just hold out and not let anyone know until the day of, to make it that much more exciting.
Well, yeah, that, and, you know, you can continue to build, you know, you can get people to talk about it still, you know, because that was, you know, that's what brought this here, when everybody realized, hey, we've got a Chick-fil-A going in, but wait a minute, you know, that's the only reason this is a story, is because they're closed on Sunday. So, yeah, it it seemed kind of weird when they, you know, when they brought it up. I heard it today, so. But, yeah, and then we had some, you know, some more drama here with the Bears, Dan. You know, besides all the BS of having to listen to how, you know, good old Mitchell Trubisky should be the starter, you know, after a couple fights in practice the other day that got him thrown out, Kyle Long missed practice today because apparently he is now starting to have some issues with his surgically repaired right ankle. Now, you know, Dan, if there's one player the Bears can't lose, this is it. You know, he's really the only Pro Bowl type player that's on this team. He's made three of them, and I think he's been in the league 4 years. Is it just going to be, you know, like he had a down year last year with injuries and everything. Is it going to be another one of those years for Long?
I think it's just going to be his whole career.
Yeah, after a fantastic start to a career, now he's just going to kind of be the, you know, the injury-prone guy that everybody wonders what happened to?
Pretty much. It could have been.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, sadly in the NFL that happens quite a bit. You know, you get the wrong injury, and then it's kind of like, well, hey, here you go. That's where they kind of go. But yeah, it just seemed like, oh great, let's just kind of continue to add to it. And I don't know when the Bears play this week. I know they bounce around with the damn scheduling so much in the preseason. So I don't know. I'm sure it's one of these days this week. Let me see if I can look it up here real quick. Not Thursday, not Friday. Do we got a Saturday game? Come on, there we go. Yes, they are. They're playing Saturday in Arizona. So my guess is Long probably won't even play. I don't think they announced who's going to start at quarterback, but if it's not Mike Glennon, I'll be pretty shocked. And then we'll get to listen to all the idiots talk about Trubisky starting again. Even though, you know, Dan, what I can't figure out is is it just the fact that it would kill their story that they don't mention the fact that he put his numbers up against third and fourth stringers?
Well, you can't do that. It takes away the allure of Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, is that what it buries the idea of him being, the next great Bears quarterback, even though I don't know if anybody could name the last great Bears quarterback. So... because when you say, as Dan and I have now coined the phrase, he did it against guys who are going to be driving for Uber when the preseason ends. So, I guess it kills their lead, so to speak.
Pretty much.
And I am interested to see if he goes out and he has a rough outing. I'm interested to see how quickly they turn on him and start talking about how he's not ready and, you know, he needs to sit and watch this year because you know that's coming right down the line. That will be wonderful to see how this works out. And then I heard an interesting thing. I think I believe you had this guy last year. If not, you may have even had him the year before that. But I heard them talking today. I just caught a tidbit of it, so I didn't really hear the in-depth part of the story. But the big tagline to it was, I think the question they put it as is it time for Jacksonville to move on from Blake Bortles? Now, you kind of lived through the interceptions and stuff last year. Are you going to be looking for him again this year when our draft rolls around?
Well, I guess the bigger question would be, are you going to be looking for him? And I've already moved on. I mean, it's not just him. It's the entire team and the organization. So as much as they can, like you say, quarterback gets all the credit, but then gets all the blame. What do they have going for him there?
Well, I know he has had a, good receivers to work with. Maybe they finally got a running game answered in, Leonard Fournette. Maybe that'll help out. But, like any quarterback, he needs protection. Nobody's going to be successful, when you don't have time to throw the football. And, he ran into a lot of trouble. And you got to remember, he's still a relatively young player. So, who knows? I mean, maybe he'll continue to be kind of the second coming of Jay Cutler, or maybe this will be the the year he maybe kind of, you know, kind of breaks out and establishes himself a little better. He's got a, you know, a new coaching staff, a new front office. So who knows?
I mean, it could be that, you know, with the new front office and everything, you would think they would have. If you're not going to come into this trying to move on, you might as well see what you have and stick with it, because you're not going to know for two or three seasons anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the, I think the sad part, you know, now obviously he was a pretty high draft pick. I think he may have been a top five pick. So, you know, if you move on, you know, the first question that comes up is, well, A, who do you have or who can you go get that's going to be better, you know, and then B, of course, is, you know, do you just move on to him to tank and then, you know, look for that guy? Because I think there's a, they're already talking about a quarterback. I want to say it's from the University of Wyoming, who's supposed to be the next big thing when the draft comes around next year. So, I don't know.
You should have said Tebow.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard that yet. You know, that I'm surprised that hasn't, you know, that hasn't come up. But, you know, hey, there's still time. Maybe, you know, maybe his name will pop up somewhere. So, you know, we'll have to see. I did see the Cleveland Browns announce that Brock Osweiler is going to start for them in their next preseason game, whenever that is. You know, they made a quarterback draft pick as well. They weren't as intelligent as the Chicago Bears, and, you know, they didn't outbid themselves to move up in a draft and get a guy. So their guy is just going to be he's listed as the second teamer right now. That would be Deshaun Kizer, who they got in the second round. So we'll have to see how that kind of plays out. But, you know, Osweiler struggled. They had, you know, in their first game, he was 16 of 14 for 42 yards. But, you know, he didn't throw the pick six like good old Mike Glennon did. So I don't think the heat is quite on him as much to get the rookie out there and start. But I'm sure if he scuffles again, you know, it won't take long for the vultures to start circling. And, you know, even though both of these quarterbacks are very limited in their experience, you know, everybody wants to run them out there and get them hurt. So what the hell, let's do that. Let's see if we can injure them and end their careers early. And then you can all go back to complaining about how the team never has a quarterback because, well, you know, you keep burying them. So, hey, what the heck, right? Let's do it. I'm all in, Dan. Let's go. I think the NFL should put that in a rule. If you draft a quarterback, no matter what round, he has to start week one of the season. That's just the bottom line. So no matter who your other quarterbacks are, I don't care who they are. If you're Brady, too bad. You know, this rookie starts no matter what. Week one, there you go. Run him out there. Legendary ideas here, I'm telling you. That's how it should go. So, you know, and I was actually baffled. You know, Dan, I've heard people say that they've watched more preseason football than they have in any other year. And
why?
My only question is, why? I don't know. Why would you do that to yourself? I don't understand what you're looking for, or why you're doing that to yourself. Or, I mean, do people really miss football that much that they have to, you know, I mean, like, my thing, of course, is I'll watch the starters, you know, but man, once the starters come out, I'm pretty much, you know, my interest level is pretty much peaked. I don't know.
It's really not that exciting.
You know, what else to do, or, you know, anything else, right? I mean, that's it, right? Right?
Pretty much, I really don't watch it at all. Watch the highlights.
So, yeah, I'm trying to think how much of the last game, the last part of the Bears game I actually watched. You know, I missed the pick six, so I didn't get to see, you know, any of that stuff that they had talked about.
Well, I mean, that's because you don't go straight to the end to watch the highlights. You like to focus in on the talking heads that only show what they want to show.
Well, I mean, I was planning on watching the actual game, and I missed the start of it. I was caught up, you know, I was caught up probably watching something else. And by the time I got there, I don't even think I saw Glennon take a snap. I think Sanchez was already the quarterback by the time I got, you know, I got back to the game. So, yeah, it was just kind of like, well, okay, I don't have anything about against Mark Sanchez, but I don't think I'll be watching this. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what it really looked like to me was a guy who's still learning his plays, his receivers, and a guy who likes to throw into heavy coverage.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, of course, you know, it'll, you know, be interesting to see how, you know, how things kind of move. You know, move on with this to see, you know, I mean, maybe Glennon develops. He's been in the league for a while, but he's never been the true starter. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he's got, you know, the actual ability. They always said he, you know, allegedly had. That's why he stuck around in the league. But, you know, some guys are really just backups. So, you know, you go through that quite a bit. You know, I know Ben is kind of on the verge of going through that right now with, you know, you hear the things about how much, you know, they like Tom Savage and, you know, all that fun stuff. But, you know, in reality, they would love for Deshaun Watson to be ready and be able to take over the job, you know, sooner rather than later. You know, I mean, it's a team with a playoff caliber defense, and they've always been really good at running the football. It's just a matter of, you know, kind of finding that quarterback, I think, that puts them over the top. And, you know, nothing against Tom Savage, but I don't think he's it. So, you know, unless you saw something in him. Are you a Tom Savage guy? Is he your top quarterback target in our fantasy draft this year?
I only know of one Savage, and he's no longer with us.
Yes. So, you know, just one of those, you know, one of the maraud of starting quarterbacks we'll get to see and talk about, and, you know, all that other fun stuff as we get closer and closer to our fantasy draft and everybody else gets theirs underway. And, you know, it'll be exciting for you. I know you so look forward to the draft. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I just took the pre-mock draft.
Which league did you win last year? I forgot.
One you didn't win.
Oh, okay. I forgot. I don't remember which one I won. So, but I did see, Dan, we had some breaking news from the big Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor fight that's coming up in 10 days, August 26th. I don't know if you caught this one, but the Nevada State Athletic Commission approved the request for the fighters to use 8-ounce gloves instead of the 10-ounce size that really doesn't affect anyway. I think it's going to matter. But I did find it humorous that there were some pundits out there, Dan, who said now with the smaller glove, they think McGregor has a better chance. And somewhere down the line, I guess these guys didn't look at their records, because Floyd Mayweather, I believe, has wore the 8-ounce gloves more than he's wore any other size in his fights. And didn't seem to make much of a difference there. I don't believe he lost any of those either. Are you in their corner, Dan? The smaller glove's going to give Mayweather or McGregor an advantage, so when he hits Mayweather, you know, it'll be more contact because he's got that smaller glove on. Did you change your betting line and now you're putting all your money on McGregor?
No. I still don't think there's a chance in hell that he beat Mayweather.
So, yeah, I was trying to remember. I saw a video. I was goofing around on YouTube the other day, and they had a video of guys who were making their professional debuts, either in boxing or UFC, against guys who were seasoned veterans. And all I can tell you, Dan, is none of them turned out well for the guy making his you know, being in his first fight. So I'm assuming Conor McGregor is in for the same setup. I don't know if he'll get knocked out, you know, because Mayweather isn't really a power puncher type of guy anymore. But I do believe there's a chance he ends up throwing in the towel, because the longer the fight goes, the more gas this guy's going to get. You know, he's not used to fighting that long. I mean, the UFC is 3 rounds or 5 rounds. So, you know, if they start getting into 7, 8, 9, you got to wonder if he's going to be able to hold up, don't you?
I think Mayweather will be able to string him along. But, you know, what I think everyone fails to remember is, you know, the stamina. Number one, McGregor's not conditioned for it. And it's a point system. It's not like the UFC.
Well, they have a point system as well. You know, if there's not a knockout or something around, but, you know, I don't know how it's set up as towards boxing's. You know, boxing has kind of its own deal. But, yeah, it's, you know, I'm to the point now where I want to know who wins this fight, but there's just no way I'm going to watch it. I just don't care enough to watch it. So, you know, just somebody text me when it's over, you know, or Facebook me or tweet, you know, hit me on Twitter at Burke Time. Just let me know who wins. I don't care about anything else. So, you know, then maybe McGregor can go back to UFC and Mayweather can go back to whatever he was doing at the time.
Nothing.
Yeah. So, you know, counting his money, I guess, or maybe, you know, not paying the IRS. So, you know, maybe that could work out. Who knows? So. I just kind of chuckled a little bit, because it was kind of like, does it really matter what size gloves they're going to wear? I mean, I think they could wear catcher's mitts and McGregor, you know, Mayweather would still win this fight. So, but we did have, you know, Dan, being that it's Wednesday, we did have some day baseball. So I've got some finals here for you. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim beat the Washington Nationals. That was a short 2-game series they split. Ricky Nolasco picked up the win, and Cam Bedrosian got the save there. Tanner Roark took the loss for the Nationals. The Miami Marlins beat the San Francisco Giants 8-1. Jose Urania got the win. Matt Cain took the loss. And, of course, the big news out of this one, Giancarlo Stanton did not homer. So I believe the homer game streak ends at 7. The Brewers beat the Pirates 7-6. Anthony Swarzak got the win. Corey Niebel got the save. And Juan Nicasio took the loss. And then the Padres shut out the Phillies 3-0. Former White Sox and Cub great Clayton Richard got the win for the Padres, Dan. and Nick Pivetta took the loss for the Phillies. It does look like we have one more final. It looks like it just ended. The Mariners ended up beating the Orioles 7-6. And then in the top of the ninth, the Royals currently lead the A's 7-6. So if I remember, we'll go back to the Royals A's final. And I didn't see, since it just ended, I don't have the winners here for the Mariners and the Orioles. Let me pull up their box score and see what we can get here. It looks like Tony Zitch got the win for the Mariners, and Mark Rybczynski picked up the save, while Ubaldo Jimenez took the loss. But interestingly, Dan, Chris Tillman came in and pitched an inning of relief for the Orioles, which is bad news for me because I have him on my bench as a starter. So I assume that means he's out of the rotation. So I may be in some trouble there. I might have to go look at that team and see what's going on. So, but yeah, so now we are all caught up on our finals as we head into tonight to see what's going to go on. And I know, of course, no surprise, and I know you're not shocked by this, but the Mickey Mouse Network game, which is just about to get underway, features, well, now technically it's the Yankees at the Mets, because they were in the Bronx, so now they moved to Queens. And I'm sure you're not shocked at all that that's the game they chose to cover.
No.
Well, you know, just like I'm sure this weekend, you know, every single one of the Yankees Red Sox games will find their way onto television somewhere, and we'll all be able to enjoy them. You know, if I hear Michael Kay's voice, my head will load.
Is it another 4-game series?
You know, I didn't look, but I believe it's just 3 this time. So, you know, we'll who knows? You know, maybe it'll be 4. Maybe they'll play 8. Get it out of the way. I know they were. Everybody keeps talking about the odd scheduling because I guess these teams, you know, normally you play your division down the stretch. And for some reason, these guys, the Yankees and the Red Sox don't. You know, just one of those odd, you know, the way the computer spit out the scheduling this year. So.
Yeah, well, that's why they need to add 2 more teams.
Yes, that's exactly why they need to add 2 more teams. But I don't know if you caught this one. And, I want to say I think this was one of your guys on our fantasy team for, it might have been a couple years in a row, but Jared Weaver announced his retirement today. I don't know, did you catch that?
Yeah, I saw that earlier.
Yeah, he had 9 starts with the Padres this year, and he really struggled. He ended up 0-5 with a 7.44 ERA, but you know, when you look back at his career, I mean, he had some really good years. He was a 20-game winner back in 2012 with the Angels. He picked up 18 wins in 2014. But I believe he had a bit of an arm issue and kind of lost it on his fastball. I know I saw a start this year where he was only topping out at like 83 or 84. And, you know, that's, you know, well, obviously with the standards today, that's incredibly low, but even for any, you know, before everybody had to throw 100, that was a little out there. But, you know, while, you know, obviously he's, you know, probably not going to get into the Hall of Fame, you know, he doesn't have bad career numbers, Dan. He pitched through 12 seasons, made 331 starts, 150-98 with an ERA of 3.63. 14 career complete games, and 8 of them were shutouts. Pitched over 2,000 innings, struck out 1,621 guys. So, you know, not bad numbers. Finished in the top 5 of the Cy Young 3 years in a row. You know, and ended up in the top 5 in the Rookie of the Year voting his first year. So, but But and they have his, more importantly, Dan, they have his career WAR listed here at 34.7. So I think that's pretty good. I guess that's a solid enough WAR. He actually made four postseason starts and appeared in 7 postseason games. He was 2-1 with a 2.60 ERA. So he had really, really solid postseason numbers. But yeah, you know, 3-time All-Star. You know, those 2 years, those 20-win year and that 18-year when he led the American League in wins those years. So he, I don't think he's going into the Hall of Fame or anything like that. But that's a pretty solid career, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, last year he was pretty decent, even with the Angels.
Let me go back up. I went down to read his career accolades. So, yeah, he was 12-12, which isn't terrible, but that ERA was a little high at 5.06. But he still made 31 starts. He probably made all of his starts. The problem last year is it looks like he was giving up home runs. He was the lead leader at 37. So it looked like long ball kind of bit him. I just kind of saw that, and I remembered you having him. I don't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, but I remember him being your guy.
I mean, he made all the starts. He was pretty solid.
Yeah, you don't get that too often now. So, just one of those fun things. But then I kind of wanted to get your take on this one. I saw, not a national televised game by us anywhere or all that fun stuff. But did you happen to see the... let's just call it. It was a terrible call that Angel Hernandez made on Ian Kinsler on a strike call last night.
And then he threw him out.
Yeah, well, the next pitch was pretty similar to the one he called a strike, and he called it a ball. So my guess is Kinsler mentioned why one was a strike and one was a ball, and he threw him out. And I believe Angel Hernandez is the umpire that was suing Major League Baseball. Kinsler kind of went off. I don't know if you saw this, but a couple quotes he's got here. He mentioned, and he uses the term here, needs to reevaluate his career choice. And then he went on to say, because he's messing with ball games. He's got a little more here. I'm surprised at how bad an umpire he is. I don't know for how many years he's been in the league that he can be that bad. He needs to reevaluate his career. Yeah. If I get fined for saying the truth, then so be it. He's messing with baseball games blatantly. While I do believe Kinsler will probably get fined, it's difficult to kind of not side with him, because just like that horrible Ben Zobrist call that ended the game, when they're blatantly this bad, Dan, I really think there needs to be the umpire held responsibly for somehow. I mean, I can get it if you miss a borderline call and it's just a little outside or a little inside and you go one way or the other and you just miss it. I mean, because the Hawk will let you know on any White Sox broadcast. But, this one and the one on Zobrist, and I don't remember that umpire's name, these were just egregiously bad. And I think there needs to be some kind of a system or a rating or a way they do things with these umpires to basically make them better at a job, because they really have a lot of control over the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, the umpires and around the league, referees, their organization, they're so secretive. So we don't, you know, the first time I've heard anything was when Joe West called Adrian Beltre the biggest crybaby, and he got suspended.
So now they go back. There was a survey in 2010. Now, obviously, this was a while ago now. But Hernandez got 22% of the vote on who was the worst umpire in the majors. And he's a Cuban national, and he filed his lawsuit against Major League Baseball, alleging that racial discrimination, as well as a long simmering personal vendetta between him and Joe Torre, has hindered his career advancement. Dan, where does an umpire go after being an umpire? What's the next step?
Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know, because, you know, unless I would think he's a crew chief, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know off the top of my head, but, you know, he's claiming racial discrimination, but yet he's umpired in 2 World Series, 7 League Championship Series, and he was also an umpire at the All-Star Game this year.
Well, that was only because he
now, you know, right. Is that, yeah, that's because he filed a lawsuit. So he got named to it this year for them to try to make, but you know, I mean, even before that, he's worked playoff games. So I don't know, you know, yeah, I think the biggest confusion for me is I just don't understand where an umpire goes. You know, I mean, you're an umpire at the major league level. There's not another, you know, league to really, there's no senior circuit there. You know, you don't elevate unless, was he expecting maybe a league office position, possibly?
I don't know, because I mean, all the umpires that I know have just been in the game for the last 20 years. And they're all old now.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Hernandez is 55, so it's not like, you know, he's a young man either. But, yeah, I just, I'm baffled by what, you know, what he meant by career advancement. I mean, it's not like he's working in the mailroom and they can bump him up to, you know, warehouse manager or whatever the next top position would be. I think right now his biggest concern should be learning the strike zone and calling it properly, because obviously he had a problem with it last night. So, you know, that may be one of the things he needs to work on. But, you know, hey, that's just my opinion. So we'll have to see how it goes. But, yeah, I don't know. How did you take it? I mean, like, I kind of sided with Kinsler. Even though I do believe he probably needs to be fined for his outburst, but how do you take it?
I mean, pretty much the same way. I do think the power of the umpire to eject guys is one of the things that has kind of lost its steam, I would say. I don't really find it appropriate anymore in today's games.
So yeah, you know, it's always difficult when, you know, you can't even have a discussion with a guy, you know, because the minute you say something, you know, you're out of the game. I think there needs to be a tad bit of leeway there, but yeah, it's just.
No, I feel like take up the goddamn point.
But, all right, well, on to happier thoughts here, Dan. You know, I mentioned that Giancarlo Stanton did not end up homering today, so the streak ended at 7, you know, consecutive games. How many does he end up with this year, Dan? What's your number?
You forgot to mention what he has now.
I'm looking because I don't remember what he has now. He has 23 home runs in the last 35 games. So, and yeah, believe it or not, the thing I was looking at didn't have his home run total. So I have to actually Bing him to get his stats here so I can give you the exact number so I am correct. He currently sits at 44, Dan. So, and I can tell you, let me see how many games the Marlins have left to play. How's my math? So they're 58 and 61, so they've played, what, 119? So he's got, what, 43 games left if he plays in all of them.
I feel like 59 is the number.
Because, yeah, I believe, you know, he himself had said he's hoping to hit 61. That's, you know, obviously, because he was saying I heard an interview with him, and he mentioned how when he was growing up, 61 was the number. You know, that was obviously before Sammy and Mark and Barry and all those guys just started putting up ridiculous home run totals. So that, you know, that could be interesting, but you don't think he's gonna stop at 59? You don't see him getting past that?
I don't know. I mean, the two numbers that jump in my head are 59 and 62.
So, you know, it's still, either way, it's still a lot. You know, I mean, to get there, I mean, he needs 17 to get there in, you know, what was it, 44 games. So it's, you know, it could be, you know, like just as he got as hot as he got on, you know, these occasions where he was hitting everything out, you can go in the exact same way and not hit them for weeks at a time. So, you know, it's always tough, but.
That's where I feel like 59 is the number.
You know, when was the last time Chris Bryant hit a home run? Oh, sorry.
I don't know. I traded him.
but, yeah, and obviously the streak has not only put him, a decent number ahead of, you know, well, the other contenders. He's now 8 ahead of the Aaron Judge, 9 ahead of Mike Moustakas, and then 10 ahead against the next national guy, which is Cody Bellinger. Now, you know, Dan, we mentioned it a little bit, I think, the other day, but, you know, the Marlins are, you know, they're playing a little better. You know, they're not a playoff contender by any means, but they, you know, they are improved. They're 3 games under 500. Is he an MVP candidate?
I would put him in there.
So, you know, because I'm trying to think, you know, like we went through it a little bit with, you know, the American League yesterday or 2 days ago. And by the way, I heard somebody say that their vote's going to Chris Sale for American League MVP. There are a couple guys, you know, having pretty good years. You know, obviously, I think Bryce Harper might have won it had not he gotten this injury. But, you know, Justin Turner has done well with the Dodgers. Now, he was out for a big chunk of time, too. But, you know, Charlie Blackman's having a great year. But are they going to downgrade him because he plays half his games in Coors Field?
I mean, I don't think you could downgrade a guy for that.
Yeah, but, you know, they always kind of seem to. You know, and I've always found it odd because, you know, there are obviously other really good hitters' parks. You know, Arizona is a great place to hit. Cincinnati is a great place to hit in the National League. You know, places like Fenway have short outfield fences and, you know, right field in Yankee Stadium, I'm dead positive you could hit one out of there. You know, I don't think you would have any issues. It's about 310 down the line. But yet, you know, we always hear, you know, like Nolan Arenado had a great year last year, and everybody, well, he plays half his games in Coors Field. Yeah, so?
I mean, we have the voters, and we know they're biased to begin with. I would say he gets downgraded because he's not a household name.
Yeah, well, you know what's weird is, like, you're looking at the guys who are just, you know, like the top three guys on top of the stats here. You know, Justin Turner isn't a huge name. I think he gets a little bit of a benefit for being a Dodger. You know, and then Daniel Murphy is right there again, having another really solid season. You know, he's got 20 bombs, 78 RBIs. He's hitting 329. You know, he'll have to, maybe he'll pick it up a little with Bryce Harper gone, and he kind of emerges. But I'm wondering here, Dan, as I kind of move down, is it finally going to be Paul Goldschmidt's year? You know, the Diamondbacks are finally in playoff contention. You know, right now he's got 28 home runs and 93 RBIs, so he's looking at, you know, maybe he gets close to 40, and he should be well over 100 RBIs. He's hitting above 300. He's at 320. You know, is it finally his year they give him the award? He's kind of been the most underrated guy in the National League for a long time now. Maybe it's his year?
It could be. I mean, we still have a whole bunch of baseball. That's what makes it hard to even talk about him.
You know what I mean? He does also have 16 stolen bases, so you can throw that in. But, yeah, you know, yeah, and obviously, yeah, they've still got a little ways to go. But, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, is there really anything that's going to slow these guys down with the kind of year they're having besides an injury? So, you know, I know Joey Votto's having a really good year as well, but he's a Red, and that's the end of that conversation right there. So, you know, that's just kind of how that goes. But yeah, like I said, I really think Harper would have ended up winning it had he not gotten injured. So that would have been a big thing there. But all right, so I'm trying to think what else is going on. Did you hear anything good today? What's new?
The Bulls reported they're going to buy out D-Wade.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I just heard that one. I heard somebody say it may take up to 2 months for them to work out a deal. Are you surprised that they finally kind of got around to this conversation? Because remember, I think the Bulls said they weren't going to do anything unless it really favored them or something to that effect. So are you surprised it ended up this way?
Well, I mean, doesn't it favor them to not have him and completely tank out?
Yeah, well, I think they're, you know, even with him, aren't they tanking?
Yeah, but this puts them at a higher, you know, closer to the top of the draft. I mean, you might as well move your center. The brother, I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, of course, obviously it takes, you know, two teams to make the trade, but yeah, I guess you have to, you know, we'll have to see what they do or how they, you know, how they do it. But, yeah, I kind of, I remember hearing that today, and I kind of missed it. I don't know. You know, with Wade gone, you know, Dan, I can't even tell you really who's on their roster besides Robin Lopez.
And Al Valentine.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, that sounds like a, Well, that, there's a lot of those, though, aren't there? So.
Yeah, but the one that shouldn't be in the NBA. I forgot his name.
You know. So who's, so, okay, Jimmy Butler's gone. You know, if Dwayne Wade moves on, who's the best player on that team then?
Bobby Portis.
So that's kind of scary.
I mean, by default?
I literally have to look at the roster to see who is on this team now, because I that's how badly I just honestly don't know who's kind of here. So, oh, your guy Cameron Payne's still on the roster. Oh, see, and we were worried. So.
I mean, don't forget they have Chris Dunn. Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
Paul Zipser.
Yeah, but he's hurt. Yes. You're not doing anything to impress me so far. And what was their first round draft pick's name, Dan? What's it? Lauri what?
Lauri Markkanen.
There you go. So he's you know, cause, well, you know, because I'm looking at this now and I had to pull up, literally, I'm dead serious. I had to pull up their roster. I don't think I've ever had to do this for a Bulls team. And I, you know, you take weight off it, and I have no idea who the hell they're going to start. I assume Dunn is the starting point guard, but I don't know who starts with him because they're saying Zach LaVine isn't going to be ready. Maybe it's the big, tall 6'8" Paul Zipser. He gets the nod there, and then, you know, it could be Nico and Markkanen at the forward positions, and Lopez could play center. How awesome would that be, Dan? God, they may not win a game.
You know, they should get rid of the smallest guy on the team, Cameron Payne.
So, yeah, well, you love Cameron Payne, though. You would hate to see him go, wouldn't you?
Well, I think if they kept him, they would help him, you know, get a higher draft pick in the lottery.
See? So maybe they should let him stick around. That could be up to their advantage. This is just a bad team. On the bright side here, Dan, they have Cameron Payne making a shade over 2 points. You think he's worth that money?
No. Maybe we'll have to maybe try to get Mr. Fantasy to sponsor the NBA League Pass for the app. We can watch the Timberwolves and Lakers.
I don't know if I could. I wonder when the last time Mr. Fantasy actually even turned on an NBA game was. That may be something I'll have to ask him. But, all right, I'm time to go. I made it through Wednesday. Surprised to do it. No technical difficulties. I thought for sure we were in for some. You know how Dan and I are open. Get over to sportstempio.com. Read the new blog that went up this morning. Follow the link over to Facebook. Give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well. We always like that. You know, big thanks always for listening live. Dan and I greatly appreciate you doing that. But don't forget, you can hunt down the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.